Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Unpacking iOS. My name is Jonathan Wiley, and in this episode, I'm going to talk about ways to make reading more enjoyable on your iPhone or iPad. Let's start unpacking. Okay, so I'm going to start this episode with a confession, and it's not going to be all that surprising to people that already know me, but one of my favorite apps on iOS is Safari, the Safari web browser. Now, I'm not going to say it's not without its faults, but it just does so many great things that this is an app I come back to time and time again, and one that I really enjoy using. Now, I know a lot of people like the Chrome web browser for iOS. If you go to the App Store and you look in the top charts, you'll see it there, usually in the top 20 every time you go there, because lots of people use Chrome on their desktop, and so it seems natural for them to want to use it on their iOS devices too. And that's fine, and that's great if it works for you, but once you really dig into Safari and you see all the stuff that it can do, it does so much more than Chrome. I mean, I wrote a short ebook on it, and that's not what this episode's about. I'm not trying to sell you the ebook here, but Safari has so many great features on there, and we're going to talk about some of those today. We're going to talk about Safari Reader and different ways that you can read better when you are using your iOS device to look at things on the web. So let's dig in with Safari Reader. It's a feature inside Safari that allows you to customize a website and make it easier to read. It takes out all the ads, the sidebars, navigation, and anything else that just gets in the way of a pure reading experience. It makes websites cleaner, and it's very easy to use. So all you do is you open Safari, and you navigate to some kind of news article or blog post that you would like to read. So to enable the Safari Reader view, you'll look up in the address bar at the top of your screen. So the address bar where you type the web address or you put your keywords in to search for, and you'll see four horizontal lines on the left-hand side of that address bar. And if you tap those, it activates Safari Reader View. So just those four lines in the top left-hand corner of the address bar. It's probably more like 3.5 lines if you look at it. And I think it's similar to like the left justification icon you might see in a text editor. It's kind of mimicking that text outline there to remind you that this is what it's going to do. It's going to alter the text. So you tap those four lines and you'll instantly see the web page in front of you get cleaned up. And like I said, it removes all the ads, the navigation, the sidebar, and everything else, and just gives you the text. Once you've got that enabled, you can tap the double A's, which is on the other side of the address bar. So there on the top right-hand side of your screen, just to the right of where your web address is. And if you tap those, you can adjust the font size, the background color of the page as well. So you can really customize that reading experience to make it look just the way that you want to. And when you're done and you've read the article and you want to go back to your normal web view, you just tap the reader button again and then you exit reader view. So some people like Safari's Reader View a lot. Some people want to use it every time they go to a certain website. So not all websites are optimized for the mobile web or for mobile devices. So if you come across one of those websites a lot and you like to visit it on your mobile device but doesn't look great, what you can do is press and hold on the Safari Reader button and then you'll get the option to use on website.com, whatever that website is. And every time you go back to that website, then it will automatically turn on the reader view every time you tap on a blog or a news article. And if you want to use the Safari Reader on every website that you visit on your iOS device, it's the same thing. You press and hold on those four lines, and then you'll see an option that says use on all websites. So that means every time you go and read a news article or a blog post on your iOS device, it will automatically enable reader view. Now, not all websites support that reader view, but the majority of them do. You'll find that it's most often available on a, like I said, a blog post or a news article type of page. If you go to somewhere like cnn.com, on the homepage, you can't use that Safari reader view. It's just won't activate on that type of homepage. But if you click on one of the articles or open one of those news stories, you'll be able to see that the four lines appear up on your address bar at the top of the screen, and then you can activate the reader view. So, not everywhere, but on those websites it does support it. Just look for those four lines in the left of your address bar. So let me give you a few quick tips on how else you might use the Safari reader mode. So, three things that come to mind for me is when you come to print a web page, it's much easier sometimes to print it when you first convert it to that Safari reader mode, because it changes the layout of the page and you're not going to have to print out ads, you're not going to have to print out comments at the bottom of an article, you're not going to have to print out a sidebar or anything else. So switch that website over to the reader mode before you print it, and you'll save some ink, you'll save some paper, and everyone will be a lot happier. Also useful with PDFs, because, you know, we live in this digital age where some people prefer digital copies to paper copies. I am one of those people. I'm going to hold my hand up and say, if you give me a paper handout, I'm probably going to lose it. And that's my fault for the most part, because I don't have a good system for dealing with paper, because a lot of what I do is in a digital format and I file things away digitally. I don't know what to do with paper a lot of the time. So when you come across a website, Safari gives you the ability to save that website as a PDF. So all you need to do is tap on the share arrow and you scroll through the row of icons on the bottom of the share menu, and you'll see an option that says create PDF. So this is handy if you ever want to have a PDF copy of a website to share with somebody else or to archive it and keep it as a record. But before you do that, a good option is to think about changing that website through the Safari reader mode to make it easier to read. Then do the create PDF and you'll get a much cleaner, nicer PDF that takes up less pages. You can also use Safari Reader for the reading list. Now, the reading list is another option inside Safari that maybe we'll talk about in a later episode, but is the ability to save a website or an article or something online to read later. And that's very simple. Again, it's in the share menu. So before you go to that share menu and you tap add to reading list, make sure you use the Safari Reader first and add that version of the website to your reading list, and it's a lot easier to read. So here's something interesting. Did you know that you can have your iPhone or your iPad read a website aloud to you? I mean, this isn't something that is specific to Safari, but iOS has these built-in accessibility features that you can enable in order to have something read aloud to you. Now, this feature is really meant to support people with visual impairments that may not be able to access the text in the same way that you or I could. However, lots of different people use this. Teachers use it in the classroom with students, students who have some kind of reading disability, and this helps support those students by helping them understand what the text is about. Other people just use it when they're getting ready for work. Maybe they're busy getting dressed or getting stuff done and they want an email read to them, or they want a web page read to them. You can do that really simply and easy on your iPhone or your iPad. So here's how it works. You open the settings and you tap on General, tap on Accessibility, tap on Speech, and then you'll see an option there that says Speak Screen. Once you have that turned on, you open Safari and you go to a website that you would like to listen to. Turn on the reader view, all right? Because if you don't turn on the reader view, this speak selection is going to read all kinds of stuff. It's going to read things on the page that you don't really need read on the page. So turn on the reader view, just like we talked about. Tap on the four horizontal lines in the address bar. And once you've done that, all you need to do is you swipe down from the top of the screen with two fingers. And this will start reading the website aloud to you. And there's this on-screen kind of media controls that come up, and you can stop anytime, you can pause, you can adjust the playback speed, but essentially your iPad or your iPhone is going to read that website aloud to you. And I think that's a really useful feature. You can use it on Safari, you can also use it on emails, you can use it on PDFs, you can use it from books, from the Apple Bookstore. I mean, it's not as professional a voice as you're going to get in a audiobook, like from Audible, but it works perfectly well. And if you go into the settings again, where the accessibility settings are, where you turn this on, you can tap an option called Voices, and you can choose different types of voices to be read to you. So you can have male voices and female voices. You can have voices in different accents, depending on what you would like to listen to. So try that one out. It's a handy tip. Another option for reading better on iOS is one of these options that has been on iOS forever. In fact, it's been on there for so long that I think people forget about it. And that's Double Tap to Zoom. This is one that probably even predates the Safari Reader. And it's useful on websites where you have like some kind of sidebar. Sometimes websites have two sidebars, one on each side, and the main content in the middle. And it makes it kind of distracting sometimes. And so if you forget about the reader sometimes, this is a useful option. Or if you don't want to turn on the reader, this can be a useful option too. All you do is you double tap on the text that you want to read. And what you'll notice is your iPhone or your iPad will automatically zoom to just that part on the page. Now, I know you could pinch in and out with two fingers. You absolutely could. And we can always do that to adjust and make sure we're seeing the text that we want. But if you want a quick way just to read a news article or a blog post and just see the main text and not worry about all the other stuff on the side, double tap to zoom and you'll be much happier reading that article. So the next thing I want to talk about is ad blockers for Safari. And, you know, we love using the internet. Everybody's on there every day. But what everybody's not such a fan of is all the ads that help pay for it. Now, ad blockers will block ads on Safari websites. And they also block trackers and things like that. And what it means is these web pages will load faster. Because when you go to a website, one of the things it does is it has to load the text, it has to load the images, also has to load the ads and everything else that goes along with them. If you're blocking the ads, that's one less thing for the website to load, so the website will load faster. And by loading faster, you know what that means? It also means you save data on your phone. So if you're using a cellular connection, you're going to use less data because you're loading less content. And you're also going to save battery life as well, because by not loading those video and animations and ads, your phone's not working as hard as it would normally. So ad blockers are great for that kind of thing. They're also great for blocking trackers, those little programs that people put on websites to follow you around the web and track your browsing habits. Apple gives you the ability to install an ad blocker on there that's going to stop that kind of thing happening. So if you used a Mac or a Windows computer, you would block ads by installing a browser extension, okay? And you may have one of these on your Mac or your PC already, but on an iPhone or an iPad, you need to install an app, okay? So you look in the App Store for an ad blocker app. The one that I use right now is called Norton Ad Blocker. It's a free app. It hasn't been updated all that recently, but it's unobtrusive. It works. And, you know, there's lots of other options if you don't like that one. Just go to the App Store, search for ad blocker or content blocker, and you'll find all kinds of stuff there. Once you find the one you want, open your settings app again, tap Safari, and tap content blockers. And here you'll see a little switch that lets you enable your ad blocker. And from this point onwards, ads are going to be blocked on all websites that you load inside of Safari. Now, it's only inside of Safari, so if your favorite Candy Crush game is still showing you ads and things like that, this content blocker is not going to work with that. This only works inside Safari. Another reason to use Safari over Chrome, in my opinion, but hey, maybe I'm just a little bit biased. So next time you go to any website on the web on your iOS device, the ads will be blocked and you won't see anything like that at all. If you find a website that doesn't load properly or you want to temporarily disable it for whatever reason, all you do is you press and hold the reload arrow in the address bar and you'll see an option to reload the page again without content blockers. So there's certain things that sometimes don't display all that well with an ad blocker or something that gets missing on a website. If that happens and you're unexpected, you're thinking, hey, there should be something else here. It says to click here and has nothing to click on. Try reloading the page again without the ad blocker just by pressing and holding on that reload arrow. And reloading the page without the content blocker. So, sounds good, right? Well, there's kind of a moral dilemma that comes along with this that's associated with using ad blockers, because it comes with a certain amount of responsibility. And I tell people this, that when I recommend ad blockers to them, you have to think that if everybody online used an ad blocker on all their devices, then the internet as we know it is going to be different. Things would not be the same, because most of the websites that you would visit online depend on revenue from ads in order to pay the bills. This is what keeps the lights on. This is what they use to maintain the website that they support, the people that they employ to make content for the website. All of that comes from ad revenue a lot of the time. Sometimes you're going to see these websites are going to ask you for subscriptions and things like that. And, you know, that's another model, but the majority of websites today are ad supported. So ad blockers will deny these websites, you know, potential revenue from you clicking on their ads or even seeing their ads. Of course, flip side of that is that, you know, ads are generally pretty intrusive and they make the web, in my opinion at least, a significantly worse place to navigate. And that's not least because of the ads on today's websites have trackers installed. And these trackers are monitoring your browsing behavior and looking at the things that you're looking at online. So if you've ever looked for shoes on Amazon and found that you've gone to Facebook later in the day, see ads for shoes, you've gone on Instagram and you see ads for shoes, you go other places and you see ads for shoes, then yeah, this is why. And you're not alone, that happens to everybody, but ad blockers help minimize that tracking element on there. So ad blockers are bad and ad blockers are good. Is there a compromise? Well, yeah, kind of. Most of the ad blockers you install have something called a whitelist, and they allow you to manage that whitelist. Now, if you put a website onto that whitelist, you're basically saying, I am allowing this website to show me ads. So this is a way you can support websites that give you good content and good value for what you come to on the web. So if you really like going to TheVerge.com, you like their articles, you like their content, you like their writers, you could add TheVerge.com to the whitelist on your ad blocker app. And then every time you go to that website, their ads will display. But when you go to other websites, they will still be blocked. So you got this whitelist in order to think about ways that you can help support the people that you want to support by allowing ads on there too. And this accommodation, you know, helps people stay in business longer because you still get to see their ads. One more way to get a cleaner reading experience on iOS is to use maybe these dedicated Read It Later apps. So the two that come to mind immediately for me are Pocket and Instapaper. And both of these apps will let you save content from the web in order to read later. And like the Safari Reader View, both of these apps will clean up a website so that it's easier to read. The advantage of apps like these over Safari is that they're going to work on all devices. So the Reader View for Safari is going to work on your iOS devices. There's also a version for Mac, which is great. But if you use a Windows computer or you have an Android phone, you're not going to get the benefit of that Reader View. However, Instapaper and Pocket, they've got apps for all the platforms. And anything you save on your iOS device is going to sync right across to all those other platforms, and those other platforms will sync right across to your iOS devices. So if you don't spend all your time on Apple devices, Pocket and Instapaper are a couple of apps that are well worth looking into. That's about it for this episode. Remember, links to everything I talk about this episode, as well as a blog post with step-by-step directions for all of this, are available at unpackingios.com. If you enjoyed this show, please hit the subscribe button, leave a review in the Apple Podcasts app, or share this podcast with your friends on social media. Thanks for listening to episode 1, and I hope to see you again in the next episode.